This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Fay. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, it's springtime in Texas. It's a great time to be alive.
It really is.
That's right. I mean, every day really is a good day to be alive. You know, when you see the sun coming up, you need to say, gosh, I'm glad I'm alive today.
Yeah. Yeah. It's time to get outside. It's time to start thinking about, you know, because summer vacation is right around the corner. We're, what, towards the end of April now? You got May, and then, you know, people start traveling and going all over the place. And, yeah, it's a great time of year. It really is. You know, everything is you know, the lawns are being mowed.
Because it's nice and the weather's right.
Yes.
I mean, they can take all these weekend trips. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, there's so many things to see and do in Texas.
Yeah.
People should not ever just sit home and never sit down. You know, they tell me that. You've got to keep moving, you know.
You are not one to sit down, that's for sure.
That's right. I need to keep moving.
There's always
stuff
going on.
Whether it's shearing llamas, putting up a flag, I mean, zip line, whatever it is, we need to keep moving.
Well, now you've got all that. Well, not all of it, but the flag got put up. We should probably, because people ask you about these things, don't they? Like regularly?
They do. Yes. They want to know because, you know, we've talked about the flag and it was really getting torn up in the wind and it was looking terrible. And then something happened to the ball. When the people had done something to it last time, we couldn't find a ball. I was going on every site in the world to find a large ball because it's the 26-foot flagpole. And everybody was saying, no, we don't have a 10-inch. Then they were saying, to order a 10-inch, it's $374. And I said, this is ridiculous for a metal ball to sit on top of the flagpole. So I ordered a new flag, got it here, and was searching the internet for balls. And I found this company, and theirs only went up online. It looked like 6-inch. So I called them, and they said, lady, how tall is your flagpole? I said, 26 foot. They said, oh, no, you don't need but a 5 or 6-inch ball. I said, I really wanted a 10. He said, I don't even know if I've got a 10. So I said, well, send a 6-inch, and it was $74, and it came in a box, and this thing was huge, and we measured it. It's 19-inch ball.
Good Lord.
Biggest I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
And we said, oh, will it be too big? Well, the sign company came out, got in the basket deal, went up, attached the flag, got the rope straightened out, and then put the ball on. If it was any smaller, you couldn't see it.
I know it.
It needed a 19-inch ball. Now, the funny part of this company never told me they were going to send a big one, didn't tell me they had one. It just came in the mail.
It just showed up like Christmas.
it was like Christmas for us. It just showed up. And the grandkids were so excited to get the new flag and the ball up. They came straight home from school. We got our chairs and set out like it was a concert and watched the whole thing.
It's cute. When you texted the pictures, I said, first of all, the first thing I was like, I've never seen a flag that big in my life. And then I saw y'all sitting out there just watching it. It's like, just gather some snacks, sit down, and get ready for dinner and a show.
That's right. And the flag is 6 foot by 8 foot.
Good Lord. Wow.
And I could have probably even gotten a bigger one. I mean, you know, a long way away, it's still is big, but I'll bet it could have been even bigger.
Yeah, I bet.
I'm not sure.
And it looks fantastic. And the ball on top, it's exactly the right size. I don't know what they were thinking. They were going to send you a 6-inch, but they sent you a big one. And I don't even know how it all, if there was some confusion on their side or whatever, but whatever you got was the right one. It looks amazing. It really does.
Yeah, and it was only $74. And all these people online were saying they were $300 and $400.
Really?
And, yeah. And, then this company never said anything. They just sent the right one. They had one, and they never inquired if it was okay or anything. Never sent nothing. We never got any information from them. We just got it in the mail.
Not a word. Just here you go.
Here you go. And they knew what they were doing. They'd been in business 30 years.
Mm.
So they knew a lot about the balls that go on flagpoles.
Wow.
And the flag came from U.S. Flag Company. They've been in business 30 years or more, and all their flags are made right here in the USA.
Fantastic. And you said it was windy when he came out and did this, right?
Oh, it was so windy. I was really scared. I wasn't up there in the bucket, but I was scared for him.
Yeah.
Because I go, oh, my gosh, and he's leaning out of the bucket, leaning over to tie the rope back on right. And then he had to go back up there, tie the flag on, hook it on to the rope, and then put the ball on and screw it down and make sure all this was right. So he was in the air twice.
Wow.
Yeah, 26 feet up there.
Wow. 26 feet up in the air on a windy day like that. I would be terrified. Most people would probably not do it. Yeah.
And say, it's too windy, I just can't do it. But he did not. He didn't say a word.
Wow.
And, you know, he'd been out here last year and done that work on it. But it was his employees. And the owner came himself. And I said, well, you know, last time two guys came and he laughed. He said, did it really take two guys? And I said, well, I don't know. I told him that they had to move the truck around 5 times.
Oh, jeez.
He backed it up and it was right the first time.
Wow.
Yeah. And I didn't even know if that thing went that high because I wasn't here the first time he'd come. And he just kept going up, and then it went out a long way.
Wow.
So it was a perfect machine. And so if anybody needs anything done, call a sign company because that bucket will go real high and you can get something done if you need it done.
Yeah. I'd never thought about calling a sign company to put up the flag. That would have never, I would have never crossed my mind. But you found
it. Well, you have to use somebody, and I kept thinking, well, what do I do? And I thought, well, a sign company will have, a bucket. And I didn't know if it went that high, but it sure did.
I'll be. Well, it looks fantastic. And then you mentioned the zip line.
It does.
So,
now we're going to do the zip line. I know you don't believe that.
I don't.
But the guy actually called and said, I can do it next Wednesday, install the poles, and finish it on Thursday.
Really?
That's what he said. He said, I'll come next Wednesday and do the poles. We will take pictures of this whole thing.
Oh, good, because I want to see those.
As it goes up. Yeah, this will be interesting. The kids will probably... not even go to school that day. We've waited so long.
They're going to stay home from school because they don't believe you at this point.
They don't believe me that we're really getting a zip line.
They want proof.
I mean, it's been so long.
And then finally,
oh my gosh,
this coming week, what do you say, Wednesday and Thursday?
Yes, the guy said he would come on Wednesday, install the poles, then come back on Thursday, and hook all the zip line up and all your harnesses up and everything. But then you'll have to make the steps. You've got to have steps at both ends and a little platform because it's so high.
Yeah. Well, how did you get him
platform
to call?
Has to be.
Because you've been looking for somebody for a long time.
Well, last time he was out and worked on the electric gate, I asked him. I said, do you think you could do a zip line? He said, send me all the specifications. And I did. And he replied back, sure, I can do it. I mean, you know, just that simple. And we've been waiting 2 years for somebody to do this.
Wow.
And he says he can do it. So, and he I know he does welding. He works with metal gates and fences all the time.
Wow.
And he's repaired mine. So we do know him. He's done a lot of work out here. And if he says he can do it, he can. Because, you know, I could have had the sign company do it. But their auger only goes down 2 foot.
Mm. How far do you need to go?
I think it needs to be 3 or 4 foot deep.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to have a lot of weight on it. You know, a child up to probably 100 pounds. Once you get on that line, you don't want it dragging the ground.
Was it last week? I think I brought it up and I said, how is the zip line? And every time I bring it up, I know it's almost like bringing up New Jersey. It's like, oh.
That's right. It's not talking about New Jersey. It hadn't happened. It might not ever happen. But we have had faith all this time.
And then all of a sudden, here it goes. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, a simple solution. And I knew it wasn't complicated. You know, there's not that many pieces to a zip line.
Yeah, there's not.
I mean, there's not that many pieces. And we've got the instructions. That's why I can't believe I couldn't get anybody to do it.
Wow. Man, I'm just shocked at how all of a sudden you've been trying so hard for so long to get these things done. And now all of a sudden in 1 week, it's like everything's just lined up and coming up fey. All of a sudden, it's awesome.
That's right. And then the other things that are lining up and coming up is our policies. We did a $5 million policy this week.
Really?
It was a short term, very short term. We've got it filled, and now we're going to do another one. It's a 15-month. We've escrowed for 30 months. So, you know, it's just a great deal. It's 15 months, and we're actually paying 23%.
Really?
Yeah, so we're paying more than what you would think.
Because it would normally be 15% for 15 months.
Right. Normally it would.
Yeah.
But the payout on this is 23.810.
Wow.
So it's going to pay 23% on a 15-month. That's not bad.
Yeah. That doesn't usually happen, does it? Has it ever happened before?
No. And it being a $5 million policy, we have two LEs on it. And they're both the same, 15 months. Nobody had a difference of opinion on this thing.
Wow.
So the clients are going to make $961,000.
You got to be kidding me. That's amazing.
No. Isn't that amazing? Jeez.
$961,000.
And this is going to be another great policy, as I said. Oh, and we've escrowed 30 months.
So you only think you need 15, so you've got some extra padding in there.
We've padded this thing very much. So, you know, 15 months, we've escrowed for 30. The profit is 23.10. It's a heck of a policy, and I know everybody will want to get in it. And what usually happens, if you don't have enough cash in your account, you can transfer money from another account. You can bring a check over to the office, whatever you need to do, because I don't want anyone to miss out on this 15-month policy.
Now, that's the one
especially
that's not
when you're
going
to make 23%.
Yeah.
And we've got a long escrow to protect you, so the risk is not much. And remember, all these years, when you're in a life insurance policy, it's different than any other thing you can invest in because they've got to put up all this money to cover it, and banks don't do it. We all know that about banks now, don't we?
Yeah.
But they have all kinds of backup money. You have to, when you write a life insurance policy, you have got to have all this money escrowed in case it all came due in one day. And you can't touch that money. You know, and they're audited twice a year. And so the insurance companies do it right because they're obligated to. The State Board of Insurance in every state requires this, that you must have this large escrow to cover your life insurance policies. It's the only business I know of that's got escrow against paying out.
Wow.
When you're in the stock market, there's no escrow to back you up.
No.
There's no life insurance company to back up your play. You're just out there on your own. If it goes down, it goes down. But a life insurance policy never goes down. They never ask you to take a lesser amount. And there's never been anyone that didn't get paid on a life insurance policy. Did you know that?
Yeah, it makes sense, but I've never really thought of it like that. But, wow, yeah, I guess that's true.
That's right, because you've got this tremendous escrow where you've always got the money to pay your claims. That's why when we send in a $5 million, a $10 million, it doesn't make any difference to them. They pay.
Hmm.
Now, some of them tried to delay it and delay it. But, you know, we had a $10 million policy. They paid it faster than a $3
million.
Yeah. Some of these companies are really fast. Others, we have to call them and say, by the way, we have not gotten your check. You know, where is your check? So, and then they'll say, oh, we're going to send it out this week. And we say, okay, we'll be watching.
And the ones in New Jersey are the ones that get you the most.
The ones in New Jersey have not sent the check. They have just lied. I would hate to have to do business every day in New Jersey. I'd be pulling out. I wouldn't even have any hair left. I'd be pulling it all out, I can assure you. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
But this is a prudential policy. So you can look to get paid very quickly.
Now,
but as I said, it's 23%. It's 15 months.
And this
and
is.
We've escrowed for 30.
This is the one that's not full, because I know you've got two. One is full, and one in this other one is not full, right? You'll be doing that this coming week?
That's right. Yes, okay. This one we'll be filling all week.
All right.
And if everybody will call, get their name in, because not everybody wanted to got in the other one.
Mm.
There's a few people that, well, like a lot of our clients, we said, would you like to put 60 in? No, I want to put 100 in. And so that didn't leave any room for some people, because we had a lot of them wanting 100, had some that put 125,000 in, because they've dealt with these short-term policies before, and they know, you know, a short-term one's going to come in. So they wanted extra money in it. They brought extra checks over. They transferred money to us, and it went very quickly.
Yeah,
I
bet.
And I think this one will, too. I think people will probably, if we ask them for 60, they're going to probably tell us, no, I want to do 100.
Yeah. Well, geez, it's not every day that you have a 15-month policy and they're going to make 23%. That doesn't happen very often.
That's right. It's not every day this is going to happen to you. So it's a 15-month. We have two LEs on it, and both of them came in same, 15 months. Lots of times there will be a difference of opinion, you know, maybe 5 months or 6 months difference, but there was not on this.
Hmm.
They both said 15 months. It's terminal, and 23% for 15 months, and 30-month escrow. I think it's a very, very good deal. I think everybody want to go in it, and they just need to call us and reserve.
My guess is now that you said that, probably you go in Monday morning, and you're going to have a whole bunch of voicemails.
That's right. We always have a bunch of voicemails saying, hold me in place. Put me in. Put me in for 60. Put me in for 100. And so we'll want to get on that and get it filled and get it over to the bank.
Yeah, I imagine that probably by the time we talk next week, that'll probably be long gone.
I imagine it'll be filled by next Saturday, yes.
Wow. So it sounds like that this is a really good time for people, not only for current investors to be investing, but it also sounds like a good time for new investors to come over, because it sounds like you've got some really great policies in the pipeline right now. Is that?
That's right. And we haven't had these short-term policies in a long time. Usually our policies are 24, 27, or 30 months, and we're used to that. And I've always said I liked them. But a short-term policy, it turns your money a lot quicker, especially if we can get them to give us more profit on it, like we did this one, 23% on 15 months is a great deal.
Yeah.
So this is why everybody's going to want to get in it. And we haven't had these short-term policies in a while. And right now, we're getting more policies to bid than we have in a long time. And so they're going quickly, which we love, because we can get to that escrow and get it closed, and the time starts right then. So, you know, we're very thankful for it.
You know, you said that you have a lot more policies to bid. It seems like there's so much more happening this year than maybe there was like last year at this time. Is that, am I just looking at this wrong?
It's really accurate. Last year at this time, we were struggling for policies. We were being outbid every day. Hmm. We're not being outbid right now. I mean, I thought two or three of these companies that we bid against, you know, that they might take these two policies, but they didn't. When they notified me we were high bidder, I go, oh, I can't believe it, but we're thankful for it. And so we immediately, you know, put it together, got it out, you know, to the clients, and they've really responded very quickly. And so we need to get these in escrow, and maybe we'll have some other really short ones. I know we've got a lot of smaller policies coming up. $500,000, $250,000, you know, a lot that we didn't have last year. So we're winning the bids right now. And one policy they were telling me about yesterday that's coming our way, they'd already talked to Coventry. And after talking to Coventry, they came to us.
Really?
I believe that. Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, lots of times, you know, they're going to lowball it and not give the people hardly any money. And I think we pay better than anybody in the industry. The clients get as much as we can give.
Is that what do you think attributes to the big, huge year you've had already this year? Is it something that can be like replicated like in the future, or is it just happens to be like the landscape of the whole market right now? Like maybe you're bidding more aggressively, they're kind of scaling back on bids. What do you think
I don't know. We've never had it this easy. I mean, usually we're scratching. And they're coming back and saying, can you give more? Can you give more? And we've only had that happen on one policy lately. The rest of them, they have not come back. Our bid stood, and it was a better bid than anybody else.
Wow.
So, and I don't know, you know, what caused it, but I'm sure glad that we outbid the competition.
So with them coming back and saying that you've got the best bid, the highest bid, does that mean that are you like bidding differently or bidding maybe more aggressively, or is there less back and forth? Because usually when you bid, there's a little bit of back and forth, right? Well, here's the bid now.
Yes,
can you beat it? And that kind of thing.
The last day of bidding is a tough one because they can outbid you that last day, or they can make you take a lot less in order to get the policy. And it didn't happen on these big policies. Everybody bid it one time, and I did not see any second bids on it.
Wow.
So I don't think there was.
Huh. Well, that's fantastic. I mean, I know you're always looking for that, you know, thing. This is like, hey, how can we, you know, keep this thing going? But man, if big like Coventry, I mean, it's not very often that they'll go to them first and then come to you, right? That's usually.
Right. Well, I think it's the way they talk to people. They talk to them like they're from New Jersey. That's what happens.
Wow, that sums it up, and we're done.
That's right. That took care of that.
Wow. Yeah, because usually they're one of the companies, because usually the first quarter of the year, there's a group of people that will bid very aggressively. They'll pretty much like get rid of their entire budget for the year, like between January, February, March, and then things kind of ease up a little bit. And Coventry is one of those companies that usually does that, right? In the past.
Well, we've been really lucky that, as I said, this spring has been the best spring we've had in 2 years. We've been able to get all the policies we wanted. We haven't had to beg for them. A lot of times we're out there calling people, we need policies, we need policies. We're not having to do it right now. The only one that we had a problem with was Mr. Chang, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
And Chang led us on a goose chase for 4 months. And they finally just sold us the one policy. He had two, but he kept the other one. But at least we did get the one, because we know that Mr. Chang isn't going to last any time at all. Mm. I mean, you know, he even went to clinical trials in between talking to us, and they kicked him out of clinical trials. He was too bad. They knew that anything they were trying to accomplish, he wasn't going to be a part of it. He was too sick. Mm. And so they kicked him out of that. That's when he finally sold us his policy. That's the only one we had trouble with all that time. And he wasn't going to anybody else. He just was contrary.
Mm.
You know, he took all those trips to Italy and different places, then come back and said, I'm going to do a clinical trial. I think that'll save me. Well, not only did it not save him, it was getting worse and worse while he was in clinical trials.
Yeah. Wow. And people do that. They'll do things like that, and then things will kind of get worse, and then by that time, there's you know, they're kind of like backed in a corner, I guess.
Yes. Not a lot you can do for them at that point.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we've gotten a lot of policies in. We've had a lot of maturities. We've had more maturities than we've ever had.
Really?
So a lot of these policies are coming due, and we're turning that money for people, getting them in new policies. And another thing, people that have some policies that went over, the ones they've got that are not going over, that are maturing, they ought to keep investing in those, because it's going to make up the difference in that lost time on the other policies. You know, we've got some that have went over, and we're having to pay premium, but we've got a lot that are coming due. You know, we've had over $20 million worth of maturities, you know, in the last 2 or 3 months. So, and, you know, the last one was McConnell, that was $4 million. Remember, Pincus, that was $5 million. We had the other one, I think it was $2 million, and then $1 million. So we've had lots and lots of maturities. People have gotten lots of money in their accounts, and now would be a good time for them to turn around, reinvest, and make more money. And I talked to one of our clients this week, and he told me that his interest income this year in 2022 was $160,000.
Really?
And I most of mine had told me they were making about $90,000 to $98,000 in interest. He said his was up to $160,000.
Good Lord.
So a lot of people are getting a lot of interest.
So,
and if it's in your IRA, you don't even pay tax on it until you take it out.
It's all
tax deferred in the IRA until you start taking it out. So it grows faster if it's in an IRA because you're not paying taxes every year.
Mm-hmm. You always talk about being diversified, and so I guess when it kind of confuses me a little when it, at least from what it sounds like, there are some who have had some policies go over. They maybe get a little bit like gun shy or nervous or whatever, and then they kind of like pull back a little bit and they stop diversifying, just waiting for like a policy to mature before they start again. Is that what
people do? Yes, there's some that may have maybe three policies, and maybe they've all gone over. So it makes them gun-shy, thinking, well, you know, if I buy another one, it might go over too. But the LEs have been coming up right in the last 2 years. You know, they're maturing like they say they will. These are older policies that are not done as well as the newer ones.
Mm-hmm.
The newer ones, the LEs are accurate. They're coming in on time, or maybe a little bit before. I know all these that came in, they were just about on time. But we do have some that are over the older policies, and they haven't done as well as the newer policies.
Hmm. Yeah, because it seems like even though, you know, people may be not investing, that's really the key, is to make sure that you're always in policies. There are going to be some that go over. There are going to be some that come in early. There are going to be some that come in on time. And it seems like from just kind of like reading between the lines from what you say, it seems like the investors that are always investing Even when some go over, still investing in new policies that are coming in now, they're the ones that are making the most money. Is that, am I looking at that right?
That's right.
Okay.
And I even had one guy take his money out, and he went back in the stock market. So good luck on that.
Oh, wow.
When he loses a lot of money, I don't know what he'll say, because he's already retired. And remember this, if you're in the stock market after you've retired, how are you going to recoup your losses? Tell me that.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know how you're going to recoup it, because there's no platform under there. There's no guarantee. There's no soft landing. When you're in the stock market, whatever happens, happens. And if you lose a lot of money after you've retired, how do you get that money back to live on? Tell me that.
Boy, that's dangerous.
I mean, I
remember.
I just don't know how you're going to do it.
Yeah. You've told a lot of stories about how people have gone in the stock market, and then all of a sudden, you know, things happen, and then all of a sudden they've got to go back to work at 75, and it's not something that people want to do. Wow.
In 2008, there was people coming to my office in tears.
Yeah.
They'd lost so much money.
Jeez.
And one couple did in Odessa, did go back to work. They said they probably have to work the rest of their life now, because they lost that much that they couldn't recoup it. They had no way. The stock went down, and that's all there is to it. It never came back up, and it's going to take them years to recoup. But everybody always thinks they're smarter, and they're going to go out here, and they're going to invest in all this stock, and they're going to get rich. I do not think it's going to happen to us, any middle-class people.
No.
Okay?
Wow.
And if they'll just tough it out, if they've got some that went over, tough it out. When they're sold, the next batch will probably never go over.
Yeah.
These are older policies that went over. This is not the newer ones.
Well, yeah.
That we've been investing in.
And even... like even the simple math, you know, says, you know, if you wait until, you know, all your policies come in and then you start, you get in new policies, you're looking at, you know, another, you know, 24, 30 months, however long the policy is, before you even start generating new profits. Whereas if you're kind of like in some now, getting some new policies, you're stair-stepping. And so by the time, you know, a new policy matures, you may be, you know, I'm not saying this in a very good way, but if you stair-step things, then there's always things, you know, coming in, always things maturing, getting in new policies, reinvesting. And that's really the key to making this work at its maximum volume, right? Just kind of.
Or if you could switch to annuities.
Oh.
It'd be safer than the stock market.
Yeah, that'd be good.
You know, I mean, if you're looking for safety, if you're not looking for safety, stay in the market. You know, the risk is 1,000%, but it's your risk. I mean, you know, when we had this bonus annuity this last month here in April, a lot of people took advantage of it. They put $100,000 in or more. And that money is locked in for either their children, their grandchildren, or themselves. I had some people that were doing it for their children, and some just wanted the safety of an annuity. Because an annuity never goes down if it's a fixed index annuity. You have a chance to make money. You can put it in the fixed rate. You can put it in the indexes. And remember, you're never in the stock market. You're safe. Because you're inside an annuity. The money it makes is inside the annuity. Even if you had a year and it didn't make anything, it won't go down. Your principal is always safe. So, you know, if a person wants absolute security, an annuity is the place to be.
Mm. So a lot of options. The key, though, is to be diversified in some way, right? Whether it's a mix.
You should always be diversified.
Yeah.
You don't want all your money in one insurance policy. You don't want to invest in just one. Like when people come to me to invest, I say, you've got to have several policies in order to make this enough money to make it worth your while. If they've only got $100,000, they need to be in two policies. If they've got several $100,000, they need to be in as many as we could possibly put them in, maybe at $40,000 apiece. Or $50,000. And most people do have a large sum of money in the market with us. And because we're in the insurance business, we're in safety. We're not out here direct in any stock market in the world. Hmm. So if the stock market craters, we're still safe. We're all right. We're an insurance policy. And they are the most regulated people on earth. If banks were as regulated as insurance companies are, we wouldn't have banks failing.
That's true.
And you know, this last week, Warren Buffett was looking at all these bank stocks, and he said he's going to pass. And everybody said, well, why? He said, I looked at the financials on these banks, and some things caught my eye.
Ooh.
He said, there's some bad stuff on their financials.
Uh-oh.
And he didn't elaborate on what it was, but he sold all those stocks and got out. He said, no. He said, those banks are not solid, and I don't know what banks it were. But he said he looked at some things in their financials, and it was bad.
Well, that ought to make some people nervous.
That'll make a few people nervous. And I don't know what he caught them at, but he caught them in some kind of shenanigans, probably trying to fool the public, you know. And so he just said, no, I believe I'll pass on all that.
Wow.
So, you know, but we have to have up reserves. We have a tremendous amount of money in reserves in every insurance company in America. And banks don't have that kind of reserves.
Hmm.
And if they did, they'd be a lot safer.
Yeah.
But they don't. They loan that money out every day. And lots of times, if it was a big amount and you went to the bank and said, I need $1 million out of my account or $2 million, they might have to say, come back tomorrow. We'll have to liquidate, you know. And a lot of banks go to a bigger bank if they need money. They can borrow from a bigger bank. And they have relationships with those banks where if they run short, they can go borrow some money from them.
Yeah. It's not like it's not like there's a pile of cash sitting in a vault, Dave.
No, they're investing all that.
Yeah.
And a life insurance company cannot invest all of their money. They have to have up reserves and reserves and reserves. And they're audited by the state and national every year. So they look to see that their reserves are up, that they have the right amount of money on hand. They look to see how many life insurance policies they've written, what ones they owe claims on. They look at everything, down to their underwear. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. They're going to look at it and check it, okay? They might even check it twice.
Well, they probably need to check it twice.
That's right. And in order to keep everybody honest. But life insurance companies are worth so many million and hundreds of millions of dollars. I talk about Midland National a lot. The company that was before them was in the 1800s. And then in 1905, it changed to Midland National. So they've been in business a long, long time. They're worth over $60 billion. They have plenty of reserves up. They can cover their claims every day of the week. And we have other life insurance companies same way, all rated AM Best, A+.
So all this means you end up protecting your principal, which is not something you can do in the stock market. So
that's right. And, you know, it's not one of those deals where you lose money and they say, I'm sorry, it went down.
Yeah.
Well, and they said, why do I have a financial advisor? Why am I paying you? They said, well, we couldn't help it. The stocks went down. That's all there is to it. You invested in the wrong thing. Well, that's not a good thing to tell you. You invested in the wrong thing. Holy cow. I mean, it doesn't make sense.
Wow.
But yet they say, bring your money over here. We're going to make you $1 million. Bring your money. Give it to us. We're going to put it in these stocks or these mutual funds and or put it in a REIT. That's just what you need.
Yeah.
Put it in a dadgum REIT. Oh, my gosh.
Lord.
And the REITs are defaulting right now because they put everybody's money in these office buildings, and these office buildings are being foreclosed out in California and Chicago and all these wild places.
Jeez.
So they're having foreclosures, so the REITs, you know, can't pay. They're folding.
Yeah, I know how you've loved REITs for so long. You almost want to say, I told you.
Well, that doctor's wife is what happened years ago. He died, and she said, Pay, I'd like to transfer all this over to you. And I looked at it and I go, you can't transfer this. I said, it's a REIT. You're in it for 25 years. You cannot get your money out. Your money is just stuck.
Wow, and so, that's not a good feeling.
It's not, knowing you can't get your cash.
Wow.
And the other thing that amazes me is a lot of the accounts we have, the men were with us for years and years. This one gentleman died last summer. He got cancer. I don't think he lived 3 months. I mean, it was very aggressive. And he always just invested with us, made money, had policies coming due, had a trust for his children, had an account for them. When he dies, the wife takes over. She immediately starts taking the cash out and giving it to somebody to invest.
Oh.
Now, he had it safe. He had it, you know, just like he thought she'd just go on with the program. But she didn't. These women, their husband dies, they just give it to a stockbroker. I don't understand it.
Jeez.
They go to risk immediately.
She was all set. Set up for life.
Right.
Wow.
And I've talked to one of them. No, she said, I'm going to do something else. And I wish these men would tell their wives, you know, honey, I've got this set up. If something should happen to me, you can go right on and it'll work.
Yeah.
I mean, they've made a lot of money with me, these three people that I'm thinking about.
Hmm.
And it just amazes me that wives won't risk. They'll just risk 100. The husbands don't want risk. They're with us because of that. And the husbands die, the women immediately go to risk. I don't understand it.
I don't understand that either. It's a shame. You know, it's almost like if there were more both involved in the entire process, maybe, you know, the wife sometimes is like a little bit removed. You know, the husband will handle all the business, and then she's not really up to speed on the investments and things like that and doesn't really understand it. Maybe. I'm just kind of guessing here.
They don't understand it. They don't know what he was doing. And they figure that this guy can do a better job.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to give it to the stockbroker. He's going to do a lot better job.
Oh, boy.
And I just my head just kind of spins around, and I go, what the heck? I don't understand it. Because she can look at what he's made. They can look at their accounts and see, you know, over the years, how much money this guy had made. He'd made a lot of money with us. It was one of our first clients. Been with us a number of years, and I talked to these guys frequently, and they had a good investment laid out. They were doing good, and they said they need that money.
Wow.
So, there you go.
There you go. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday morning around this time, actually, I just looked down. We're a little tardy with trivia, but what is our topic this morning?
Gourds. What do you know about gourds?
They look funny sometimes. They got bumps, and that's about it.
Oh, my gosh. Let me tell you about gourds. Gourds have been around for thousands of years around the world. And gourds are part of the plant family, like squash and pumpkins, melons, cucumbers, hard-shelled fruits that people have used for food, for ornaments, utensils even, for thousands of years. In Peru, they've unearthed ancient gourd fragments associated with early humans. And so gourds have been passed down thousands of years. Gourds can run from a few hundred dollars to thousands when they're designed. And gourd art is some of the prettiest art I've ever seen. Have you ever seen any gourd art?
I don't think I have. I'm interested, though.
Okay. They burn all these designs in them. Okay?
Really?
They burn designs in them. They paint them. They do leather work on them. They do jewels on them. And most of the people don't buy their gourds here to do all this art. A lot of them come from Arizona and California. But there's some in the hill country that are raising them. and they go from 50 cents to $12 before you've ever done anything.
Wow.
And then they put them in the ground in April, and then they harvest them when they're dead in the field from October through Christmas. And all these artists here in Texas have been doing gourds a long time, and they do the most beautiful work I've ever seen. And there's two festivals fixing to come up, and I encourage everybody to go and see this gourd art. You might become so interested in it, you start doing it. One gentleman I've talked to has been doing it 12 years. He said it's a passion. Once you start doing this art, it just becomes a passion, and you don't want to stop. And he said sometimes his wife will say, come on, come on, we've got to go somewhere. And there he is out there doing the gourds, you know. I mean, it's something they just love once they start. But the Southwest Gourd Festival is going to be May 18th to July 1st in Kerrville. Then the other one, the Lone Star Gourd Festival, is September 29th to the 30th, and it's in Fredericksburg.
Wow.
And I encourage everybody. The first ones I saw was a birdhouse. It was the most gorgeous thing, and it makes a noise. And there's all types of gourds. And they say nobody ever copies anybody else. They're all unique. They're all originals. And they've learned a leather stitch on these gourds.
Really?
Yes. They burn them in, they carve them, they paint them. They use alcohol dyes. They attach horns, beads, cactus fibers. And the guys that have the wood burners say it's relaxing, and they can do this and burn these in for hours.
Fascinating. The closest thing I can relate to in my head to this is like those pumpkin carving competitions. And it sounds like gourd art is so much more, there's so many additional layers to this. I'm really fascinated with this.
Oh, yes, because they shellac it, they paint it.
Wow.
They bead it. The horns are gorgeous. And most of it's Southwest art. All the ones I've seen are Southwest, and they are the most gorgeous things I ever saw. As I said, a lot of these people have been doing it 12, 14 years. Some of them, once they saw it and got interested, you know, they haven't ever stopped. But they use a transparent dyes. They have a weaving stitch called close coiling. They do flowers, hummingbirds, dragonflies, and the inlaid stones are to die for. They are gorgeous. And
wow.
As I said, and they do spirit dolls. There's just so many things you can do. And the enameling, the stripple carving, cactus fibers. I mean, I'm impressed. I did not know you could do all this with a gourd. I've seen gourds all my life. And the other thing is most Texas gourds are too thin.
Really?
They have to be a thick-skinned one, or you couldn't do all this wood burning and carving on it.
Yeah, but I would imagine you've got to have a pretty deep surface to.
That's exactly right.
Wow.
And I realized after I started studying it, all this carving, the wood burning, the pine needle coiling, and all these stitches on it. If it wasn't thick, you could not do it.
Mm.
And it's got to be the thickest gourd. You can't do most of these little thin gourds because it wouldn't work. But I'm impressed that these gourds are so gorgeous. They don't even look like a gourd when they get through. I mean, the vases that they've done with it are just gorgeous. And how you can do leather stitching on a gourd. I mean, can you imagine?
I don't know. I'm trying to picture that.
Yeah, they do leather stitching. They do jewelry on it. They beautiful Southwest turquoise beading on it. It's just amazing. Then this one guy specializes in the birdhouses. And those are gorgeous. It's a different kind of gourd for that.
Jeez.
And yeah, and once these people learn how to burn these in and do it, that it becomes, as this one guy said, he has a passion for it. He can say he can spend hours designing a gourd.
Golly.
And if they can't get the thick ones here, they order them from Arizona and California because they have the thicker ones. And the guys that have started growing their own, they're growing the thicker ones. They're getting that thicker one, you know, to use for art. And a lot of these people have their own studios and sell their art in their studios, especially, you know, down around Kerrville in Central Texas. I've never seen any of them around Dallas, Fort Worth, or anywhere, but it seems like they're in, you know, Central Texas down there. But they're doing beautiful work. I didn't know that they could run thousands of dollars.
Wow, thousands to sell?
Thousands.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. It says it can run into the thousands of dollars.
Whoa.
I had no idea. But I've seen the stitching. I've seen the leather work, and they are absolutely fabulous. And then they paint them. They do all this dyes. I say paint. It's dyes that they're using on them. And it's just amazing. And I encourage everybody to go to one of these shows and see how this gourd art works, because it is gorgeous. And these guys have become master gourd artists. They've won countless awards. And it's just amazing. The People's Choice Awards went to Chasing Dreams. And it was a large kettle ground. Gourd is intricately crafted. They use so many different techniques on that one gourd. You know, they're not just doing dyeing. They're doing everything. They do the wood burning, the stripple carving, the alcohol inks, and real cactus, and cactus fibers on them. So it's something that's so beautiful I wanted to talk about and tell people about the gourd art, because I'm just shocked that the gourds can be made this beautiful, you know, with rhinestones and paintbrush. I mean, you can just do so much to them. I just can't imagine.
I honestly didn't know, like 20 minutes ago, I didn't even know gourd art was a thing. And now I'm finding out that they're doing all these different techniques and they sell for thousands of dollars. I'm like, wait a minute. This is not just like a $3 little something that you find at like a festival someplace that somebody painted a face on a gourd and just decided to sell at the county fair. This is like a big deal. And I'm fascinated by this whole thing.
Wow. That's right. It's not something you just go to the county fair. And they have all this competition. People win all these awards. And this birdhouse is just one a magnificent one. I love it. It's one, and I don't know how much it's sold for, but it is gorgeous.
Wow.
And it's shaped like an hourglass. And they etched it with black tendrils. And it's a boom one. It's a thunder gourd.
Really?
Yeah, and it creates all these noises. And their story is, if the company stays too long, duck in the hallway with your gourd, shake it, and then say, uh-oh, storm's coming, y'all better leave.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and they say you can do not only the bowls, the holiday decor, birdhouse, you can do masks. You can do sculptures. You can do miniature hobbit homes.
Really?
All with gourds, folks.
Jeez. I had no idea.
Anybody that learns to do this is really very artistic. They learn to burn this into the gourds, learn to do the dyes on it. The stitching is what is amazing me. The stitching is just gorgeous. And the birdhouses are just absolutely unique.
So this is really an art form, like a true art form.
It is a true art form, and I didn't know that gourds have been around for centuries and centuries. And in Peru, they found these old pieces of gourd from a long, long time ago. So they say that it was all over the world. There was gourds all over the world at one time.
Wow. And where are you mentioned two places where they have these shows. Where were they again?
Yes. They are in Kerrville, May 18th to July 1st. The other one is the Lone Star Gourd Festival, September 29th and 30th in Fredericksburg.
Okay. All right.
And this would be a good time, you know, when people this summer are doing things, go and see these gourds and how they win all this and what it takes to make a beautiful piece of art. And who would have thought of a gourd? You know, we used to see gourds out in the field all the time, and just kicked them aside. I didn't know that you could take these gourds and make this fabulous art.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Me neither. I didn't have a clue. I didn't even know it was a thing. It's fascinating. It really is.
Yeah, and anybody could do this. It looks to me like if you set your mind, you could sit down and learn to do this and have a beautiful work of art.
Yeah, no doubt. That's fantastic. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Okay, two things real quick. The first, with life settlements, I know you always like to review the risks, and there are two. What's the first big one?
The first big risk, as I say, is it could go over and you'd have to pay premiums. That's why you must be qualified and you must be an accredited investor to do this. The government says you must be accredited. So you must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your house. Minimum investment on that is $100,000. The other risk is, remember, it is not liquid until it matures. When it matures, you can buy a new car, you can reinvest, you can do anything. But it's not liquid until it matures.
Okay. And we're only talking, you know, a few months. We're not, because I know you mentioned REITs and you can't, you know, get out of those in like 20 something years. With this, you're talking, you know, what, 24, 30 months, something like that before it.
Yes.
Okay.
That's right.
And then the second thing, is that annuity deal still going on, or has that?
Yes. Okay. I think it's good till the end of the month. So anybody that wants just to set back, relax, get your interest every year, have it to be locked in every year at the end of the year. Call us on the annuities. We'll go over it with you. It's going to have a 9% bonus every time you put money in for 7 years. That's in addition to what it makes. Or you could just say that first year, give me the fixed rate and the bonus. That'd give you about 12-something interest that first year.
Cool.
Or you can do the indexes. You can divide it up. It's not going anywhere. Annuities never go down.
Okay. Regardless of what anybody's doing, whether they're doing annuities or life settlements or a combination of both, the key is to always be diversified, being as many different things as absolutely possible. That's how people make the most
always.
Amount of money.
Don't try to come in and buy one big policy. We're not going to let you do that.
Yeah.
We want you to be diversified no matter what you're involved in. That's why when it's annuity, it's the most diversified there is. Or a life settlement, you've got to be diversified and have more than one policy.
Cool. And you'll be filling that big policy this coming week, right?
We'll be filling that big policy this coming week. And everybody should sign up early where we'll have enough room for everybody.
Okay. And it's also a good week, I would assume, for new people to come in if they want to start investing, whether it's life settlements or annuities, whatever. If they're looking for something with some conservativeness to them, this would be a good week to begin. And I assume you have availability for people to call and make an appointment, right?
I do. We'll make ourselves available. We'll talk to people on the phone, find out what they have in mind, and try to help them.
Cool. And one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.